For the past 65 years, students at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign have found a way to de-stress during finals week and at the same time, spread a little holiday cheer. So every fall semester finals week, student volunteers staff the phones at Dial a Carol, a 24-hour Christmas music hotline. So you call in with your request, and they sing you a live rendition of your favorite song. The program was actually created by Betty Gordon, who was an office secretary at the university, who had convinced residents at Snyder Hall to sing holiday tunes around campus. And in time, those students began playing vinyl records to callers, but eventually decided that it was much more fun and festive to sing those songs live. And the program is amazingly popular. Last year, volunteers answered over 10,000 calls from all over the world. Although the range of requests is quite broad, as you might guess, the most popular are Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Jingle Bells, and Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. They even have a Mariah meter to measure. But Mariah Carey notwithstanding, is it at all surprising that Dial a Carol is so popular? I mean, who doesn't look forward at Christmas to hearing those timeless favorites, those soft, beautiful songs about love and peace and joy? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Or it came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. For many of us, Christmas carols are the very best part of Christmas. And the tradition of Christmas carols, or Noels, from the French word meaning Christmas, actually dates to the 13th century. But some of the best known did not actually come into church use until the 1800s. These were songs and hymns whose lyrics were specifically based on the theme of Christmas. And like other hymns, they are powerful theological statements, statements of what we believe about the Nativity in all its many aspects, the virgin birth, the town of Bethlehem, the nature of Jesus, the manger, the announcement of the angels, the shepherds, the star, and the magi, and of course, the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation. They tell the story of Christmas and they interpret its meaning. Listen. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and mean and lowly, lived on earth our Savior, holy. We, like Mary, rest confounded that a stable should display heaven's word, the world's creator, cradled there on Christmas Day. Yet this child, our Lord and brother, brought us love for one another. Importantly, these carols also invite our response to this event. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. Joy to the world. O come, all ye faithful, silent night. Along with seasonal classics like Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, and, of course, All I Want for Christmas Is You, these are the songs people usually request at Dial a Carol. But as wide a range of requests as they receive, I am certain there is one Christmas carol that no one has ever asked for. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Yes, my friends, even though the song says that the first Noel or Christmas carol was sung by angels to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, the real first Noel was sung by Mary to her relative Elizabeth. And you know the story. The angel Gabriel announces to a young virgin Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and she will conceive and bear a son, God's son, whose name will be Jesus. The angel also tells her that her relative Elizabeth, who is, by the way, old and barren, has also conceived a son and is in her sixth month of pregnancy. Here am I, the servant of the Lord, Mary says. Let it be with me according to your word. When the angel departs, Mary goes with haste to visit Elizabeth. She has no idea how a woman with her story and in her condition might be received. But when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the child in her womb, who is John the Baptist, leaps for joy. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In response, Mary bursts into the first Christmas carol, Mary's song, or the Magnificat, so named for the Latin for magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. But to fully appreciate Mary's song, we must first understand her context. As an unmarried, pregnant woman, Mary faces a bleak and uncertain future, a life of shame, ostracism, perhaps even death. At the same time, her people face a difficult and unsettled present. Life under the brutality of the Roman Empire is increasingly oppressive. The institution of the temple establishment is corrupt. The divide between insiders and outsiders, the religious elite and the common people, widens. Power and wealth are concentrated in a very few people at the top, while regular people are drowning in taxes, debt, helplessness, hopelessness, and despair. This is the reality to which Mary sings. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled up the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is not just a powerful theological statement on the Nativity, but a statement of God's purpose and plan for it. This is the good news that Luke proclaims throughout his gospel. This is the world that God wills, a world that God is bringing forth, a world that does not match up with the world that exists, where injustice, oppression, and evil seem to have won the day. But, Mary proclaims, despite how things might look, they have not. God is not going to do something about it. God has done something about it. Present tense. Her song sounds more like "we shall overcome" or even "we have overcome" than "Silent Night." The proud are scattered. The powerful are brought down. The lowly are uplifted. The hungry are fed while the rich are sent away empty. Jesus will describe the same world just 5 chapters later. Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, weeping, but woe to you who are rich and full and laughing. This is the great reversal. God has turned everything upside down. How often have we gotten caught up in the beautiful language and poetry of Mary's song and not really listened to the words? But the downtrodden, the hopeless, the poor and the oppressed throughout history have listened to the words. So have their oppressors. In the past 100 years or so, at least 3 countries have banned reciting the Magnificat in public. During British rule in India, the Magnificat was prohibited from being sung in church because it was, quote, a most revolutionary canticle. In the 1980s, the Guatemalan government banned the song because it was considered politically subversive. Similarly, during the dirty war in Argentina, after the mothers of the Plaza del Mayo placed the words on the Magnificat on posters throughout the Capitol Plaza, the military junta outlawed any public display of Mary's song. Now, this is not your average Christmas carol. Scholar Stanley Jones calls the Magnificat the most revolutionary document in the world. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the song of Mary is at once the most passionate, the wildest, the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. And New Testament scholar William Barclay wrote that there is loveliness in the Magnificat, but in that loveliness is dynamite. He goes on, Christianity begets a revolution in each man and revolution in the world. The coming of Jesus among us begets a revolution in each person and revolution, God's revolution, in the world. To those who put profit ahead of people, who ostracize, exclude, and oppress, who spew messages of violence and hate, this is not good news. But to those whose life's burdens feel insurmountable, who long for acceptance and belonging, who are powerless or abused, who face a bleak or uncertain future, who dream of a world where all God's children are loved and cared for, who yearn for justice and peace. This is very good news. And to those who despair at the state of our world, where the powers of corruption and chaos, injustice and hate, racism, untruth, and evil seem to have won the day, Mary says, no. God says, no, that's not how it is. The revolution is at hand. And like other Christmas carols, Mary's song invites our response to join that revolution, to be lifted up and held up by God. Hers is an invitation to allow the birth of Jesus to beget a revolution in your own life, a complete overthrow of the world's powers and priorities in favor of God's. It is not a revolution rooted in violent uprising or in the taking up of arms, but in God's coming among us as a tiny child. And to join that revolution means to follow in his way of radical love, inclusion, compassion, and mercy. This holy infant, so tender and mild, began and continues the revolution that will change you and that has changed the world forever. Yes, we are a couple of days from Christmas and wanting to dial up our favorite carols of joy and peace, of silent nights and harks of herald angels. But first, we must sing that first Christmas carol, Mary's song of a world God has turned upside down, and God's unfailing love and care for everyone who turns to God. And what, you may ask, is the carol God sings? It's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Amen.